compelling, inspiring, innovative.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
They plead not guilty.
The defendant is not guilty.
You're the one who's guilty.
Call the first witness.
Is that a question?
Did you say utes?
Yeah, two utes.
What is a ute?
I am instructing my client not to answer that question on the grounds of self-incrimination.
Welcome to the Charleston School of Law podcast. We are excited to provide our community with this opportunity to learn more about Charleston School of Law, our programs, as we celebrate our 20th anniversary of serving the greater good. I'm your host, John Struble. You can reach us by email, news@charlestonlaw.edu, and listen to our full archives of shows on Spotify, iTunes, Google, or your favorite podcast platform. We feature conversations about the law with our faculty, our alumni, students, and our partners in the legal community. Today, we are thrilled to welcome Emma Lynn Owens, a 2022 graduate of Charleston School of Law, a staff attorney at Amentum. That's a defense contractor for the Department of Justice, and she is based in Washington, D.C. Emma Lynn, welcome to the Charleston School of Law podcast.
Thank you so much, John. I'm so happy to be here.
So where did you grow up?
I'm originally from Lynchburg, Virginia, which is a smaller town in Virginia, right below Charlottesville, Virginia, and
yeah.
Richmond.
Are you a first-generation law student?
Yes, I actually am. My family is kind of diverse. My mom, she was a culinary instructor. My dad does nuclear energy and nuclear reactors.
Your dad doesn't glow like some weird orange or green color, does he?
Not currently, no, but you never know. He might later.
Your law school journey is pretty unique because the legal profession was not on your radar at first. Can you kind of walk me through your education background and how you arrived at Charleston School of Law?
I originally was in college pre-med and political science and was doing pre-med classes because I was thinking about going to medical school. Hmm. And then I took the MCAT and realized it kind of wasn't the route that I wanted to go. So then I decided to. But while I was in college, I was like a CSI intern and was able to go to crime scenes and everything. And honestly, that kind of spurred my interest when it came to evidence and how evidence is used, because I was there when they collect the evidence. And then, you know, it was interesting to see that process. And then later on, they would kind of walk me through how the evidence was used in trial. And so I was very interested about the whole legal process after that, decided that law school was going to be my journey.
Were you on real crime scenes where they were collecting evidence? Yeah.
I switched to criminology my last year as my major, and they required like an internship so you could try and apply to the police force and follow police officers. I mean, I wasn't extremely interested in that. I kind of wanted to get deeper into crime because I read Nancy Drew when I was little and loved watching crime documentaries. I applied and they only chose like one person a year, so I was very blessed to get that internship. It was a very long training program beforehand, and I had to wear a bulletproof vest.
Oh my goodness.
On crime scenes. Yes. And we would show up to homicides, burglaries, robberies, everything. It's a very eye-opening but exciting experience.
Yeah.
Definitely learning all about how, it's funny because I used to love watching CSI, and then as soon as I started that internship, I no longer could because it just seemed so different from TV to the real life.
Did your mom and dad know you were doing an internship that involved you wearing a bulletproof vest?
Yeah, my dad was worried, but my mom, she honestly knew that I loved watching crime shows with her.
Yeah.
And I remember one of the agents there had called her to do like background checks on me and everything. And he asked her, you know, is she okay seeing a dead body? And my mom was like, oh, yes, of course. She would love that. And then she realized that sounded a little funny.
So after realizing you are not going to medical school, What was it that attracted you to the law?
I was interested in being a doctor originally because I was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes when I was young and always, you know, found how amazing doctors are being able to help patients with diabetes. And I knew I wanted to be in a role where I was able to provide help. Even though a CSI agent has the opportunity to do that, I thought that maybe a lawyer would have a little bit more capability of being able to put everything together to help people as well.
That's pretty typical of all the students I've talked to over the years, is that even if they do think they know exactly what they want to do, then they get in law school and they're exposed. They end up doing something totally different. They find their passion.
When I first started, I was thinking, okay, maybe I want to be a criminal prosecutor because then I could be able to use evidence and I'm good at looking at crime scenes. But again, yeah, in law school, I guess you really don't know. I mean, you don't really know your 1L year either, because it's more of core classes, you know, and core. I feel like you kind of find what you want to do later on when you're able to actually have more experience with law firms.
1L year is just a whirlwind for students. They're just trying to figure it all out because it's a different style of learning, a different style of writing and reading. When it comes to student organizations and experiential learning opportunities, did you take advantage of those while you were at Charleston School of Law?
Well, my story is kind of interesting because in college, I was in a few clubs and knew how important it is to like get your foot in the door by joining clubs and everything you can. My 1L year, I reached out and joined like animal law, family law society. But then, of course, COVID happened my 1L year. Oh. So everything everything was on a standstill, obviously. And, you know, of course, organizations had to halt any meetings for a short period of time. And after my 2L year, I was able to become a guardian ad litem, which I really thoroughly enjoyed in order to get pro bono hours. I loved being a guardian ad litem so much for Dorchester County that I decided to just do it for 3 years. It was very, very exciting. And then I also worked at a family law firm too, in Mount Pleasant. And that really gave me a lot of experience on how family law works and how the cases are developed and how important client relationships are with your attorney.
There's the theory in the book learning that you do in the classroom, but then walk through the day-to-day in a law firm and see how some of those practices that you're learning in the classroom are put into practicing the law. Here's a topic I want to talk about. There was a time between graduating law school, taking the bar exam, and waiting for results, and then searching for a job in the legal industry. That was kind of challenging for you. It's not something that's talked about a lot. It can be a little bit of a challenge.
I think the biggest thing that is unexpected is just the unknown of everything, because you don't quite know, you know, of course, if you're going to pass or not, or if your job will keep you if you don't pass, you know, how are you going to afford studying and everything after graduating and then before you take the test and even after you take the test. I think a big thing for me was how expensive it is to pay for a bar program, keep your housing and food and exercise classes to keep your mind sane during the study period. And, you know, how are you going to fund that? You definitely have to be prepared for that. I think looking back, I would have liked to have someone tell me exactly, you know, it's going to be a lot of unknowns. As long as you're prepared for almost anything to happen, that definitely helps you.
Expect the unexpected through that process, right?
I will say one of the key things I learned, though, is that all bar study, well, not all, I can't say that, but some of the bar study material is free. Like I didn't pay for Themis because Themis offers like a 1 week free trial. So I had signed up for that, and then I had 1 week of Themis, and I was able to get all of their study aids and everything through that. And then you can also, you know, go on any state court website, and they post past MEE MPTs that you can study off of. So there's, if you spend time looking up and researching material, there are many, many ways for you to be able to go around paying, you know, $2,000-$3,000. Which is definitely hard to do after you graduate.
You're a very resourceful young lady, Emmeline.
Yeah. Try to be. Sometimes you have to.
You want to eat or not?
Yeah.
For law students who are entering this season of life where you were when you were having those challenges, what should they prepare for in those gaps? Are there ways to prepare and kind of set yourself up for success?
Well, I think it starts with just finding out what bar you're taking. I think, you know, if you want to take South Carolina bar, that's great. I decided to choose the DC bar because it was very, very cheap. It was, you know, like a tenth of the price of the South Carolina bar. And then also they had a very late deadline. So if you were taking time to save up money and everything for applying for the bar, you had time to do that with the DC bar versus South Carolina that had an early deadline. So I think that's number one. And then after that, just trying to get a mentor during the bar process and even afterwards. If you don't have a mentor, you know, you can reach out to the school. I had a wonderful mentor from Charleston School of Law. You can also try and get mentors from the bar website too, of whatever state you apply for. I know DC has a mentor-mentee program.
Okay.
So it's just something you can look up, and they kind of walk you through the process or kind of tell you where you, which direction you'd be going to. And then also, of course, just researching. After you take the bar exam, you're in this weird kind of phase where, you know, you're stressing about it and you either are working at a law firm that's waiting on your results or you're applying for a job. It's a really weird feeling because, you know, you're just unsure about everything for a few months. And during that time, I was just applying rapidly for jobs, finding like the company name on Indeed and then going to their direct site to apply through them. Because again, just researching, and I know Reddit definitely has its rabbit holes that you can't go down. If you know what jurisdiction you're taking the bar exam or after you pass, you can look up, you know, the state jurisdiction on Reddit, and there's a lot of people that have taken that test and will walk you through, you know, okay, well, you have to apply here and then submit this and be prepared to wait this long. So that honestly really helped me being able to just kind of to expect deadlines and where to apply and what to do with that.
Resourceful Emmeline once again. She knows how to pay the least amount to take a bar exam as well.
I do have an expensive grocery bill. Say,
Well, there's nothing wrong with having good taste, that's all. If you're in Charleston and you're going to law school in Charleston, through student orgs, experiential learning, pro bono opportunities, networking events, you're able to connect in almost on a daily basis. But if you're a student at Charleston School of Law or anywhere else and you're going to another state, that networking piece is kind of a gap.
And I think it's also, you know, where you, clerk, did all of my experience in South Carolina. Even though I worked at an amazing law firm and had great resources in South Carolina, they weren't necessarily going to be able to transfer that experience and everything over to a metropolitan city like New York or DC, because especially with DC or New York, they're looking for Ivy League schools and they're looking for, you know, alumni. Or so it's definitely a struggle trying to find a job out of state, but it's definitely not impossible.
Right.
You just really have to work at it and look up as much research as you can.
I think for students who are pursuing and moving in that direction and are in that season of life right now, you can expect some unexpected stuff. What was Emmeline like going into 1L at orientation to the day she graduated?
It's funny, we joked about it, but I honestly think that I found out that I'm a very resourceful person.
I told you.
I always believe, you know, my dad always told me where there's a will, there's a way. And if you, you know, of course, in law school, finances, and you're stressed about classes and everything, if you just sit down and take a deep breath, you know, you can really figure it out with time.
Sure.
So you should never. And that's what I learned. Like, even the biggest struggles I had with classes, I just decided to be resourceful and to look up study aids or study guides or do tutoring and do as much research as I possibly could. I think a second thing was, I'm definitely a curious person. I know before I always, you know, was, I found myself always asking the question why to everything, you know. Like, why did that happen? Yep. Like, why would that person do that? And always kind of thinking about the curious questions.
Sure.
I heard different exact pattern.
Now you're working in Washington, D.C. How long have you been at this law firm where you're a staff attorney?
I will be there for about 2 years.
Okay.
In a month, 2 year anniversary.
So in the work type of work you do, can you explain it roughly to like a layman who wouldn't understand it?
So when I first started, I was a law clerk one, because you get put on as a law clerk one. And honestly, you don't have to be licensed. So that's also a good tidbit of information, is that if you want a job after you take the bar exam, but before you get licensed, you can just look up law clerk for the government.
Gotcha.
And they have many positions that are open and available. That way you can work with attorneys and get experience while being out of law school with a JD. I usually do e-discovery, which I didn't really have a lot of e-discovery experience beforehand in law school. I think you learn about discovery and this discovery process and how to do legal research. It's a whole nother ballpark when they're having you do things on like relativity or Everlaw, those kind of databases that are used for e-discovery.
Oh, yeah.
I look over like millions of documents and try and find relevant information for the trial attorneys. And then, of course, do motions and briefs and things like that. It's definitely interesting because I work on a few different cases for the Department of Justice. And
sure.
Those get very interesting as well. It's funny because, like, I'll wait until, like, the trial happens and it's public. But, you know, I'll always be like, oh, don't use that brand. Like my parents or something.
You got the insight
like,
on that.
Don't use that toothbrush. Yep. Yep.
Why? You'll find out why.
Yeah.
Just wait.
Just wait 2 years. Yep.
Just trust me on this. So you've been out of Charleston for a couple of years now. Charleston's a great city, a great destination, so many things to do. And when you think about Charleston, leaving Charleston, are there places that you loved to go that you now miss?
I lived on Isle of Palm, or close to the connector to Isle of Palm.
Oh, yeah.
So I absolutely love to go out there and to do like studying on the beach and just walk on the beach to clear my head. I also miss, of course, downtown with the shops, the waterfront, the Battery. It's beautiful, especially if you just want to go for a walk. I will be honest, I do miss Bojangles and Cookout.
They don't have that in D.C.? They don't have Bojangles?
No.
Okay. It must stop somewhere along there. Yeah, maybe around North Carolina or something.
Virginia.
Virginia's got it.
I have to drive. I have driven the hour and something, yes, to get Bojangles once in a while. Yep.
We all have our vices, Emily. You know, you say that, and how many law students are out there that say, yeah, I could go out and read at the beach? That's just wild. It's a great place to live and study the law, because you stress and all the pressures that come with law school, but you also have, when you do have a little bit of downtime and can take a beat, you can go out to the beach and just relax and sit back for a little while too.
It definitely helps clear your head, especially if you found out, you know, a test score or something. It definitely helps with that.
Celebrating 20 years of serving the greater good, this is the Charleston School of Law podcast. Our guest today has been Emmalyn Owens, class of 22. Come on back to Charleston. I'll take you out for some Bojangles.
Yes, and then Raising Cane's. Don't forget.
All right, guys. Wherever you want to go.
This is the Charleston School of Law podcast.